This last track of Hallel is basically a joyous song of victory. Okay, talk about the 1812 overture model. He's in this battle, he wins, he's coming back to the Beit Midrash, he's bringing his karbanot, and then all of a sudden he breaks out with the words of Ana Hashem Oshia Na, Ana Hashem Oshlicha Na. Not of thanks, but of prayer. Please save me. I talked about the fact that I read this as being this sort of breaking the fourth wall, that I'm realizing, okay, I'm talking about this as though it could happen, but it doesn't, because all I want in life is the Beit Midrash, and it doesn't exist. And that affects how we read Hallel as well, because we're in the same position. We can talk about Pitzkul Yishar Tzedek, we're going to go enter the gates of the Beit Midrash, we're going to bring our Kavanot, but really that doesn't happen. So we have, as we're saying this, we suddenly realize it isn't real, and we're calling out Ana Hashem Oshiyana, Ana Hashem Oshlichana. And I pointed out that what's interesting about that is that the last couple of psukim, the way we say it, the Mishnah says it's entirely based on minhag, makom shenagol lichvol yichvol, lifshot yifshot. Place of a minhag of doubling up psukim, then you should do that. And that's the only way we do it, because we just read the what it says in art scroll, and they say double those last psukim, basically from Hashem. But Ana Hashem is different because we don't double it as a pasuk. We split it up into two halves. We don't say Ana Hashem Hashiyana, Ana Hashem Hashiyana, and then repeat Ana Hashem Hashiyana, Ana Hashem Hashiyana. We say Ana Hashem Hashiyana, the Chazan says it, and then we say it. The Chazan says it again, and then we say it again. And then the Chazan says Ana Hashem Hashiyana, and we say Hashiyana. We split the pasuk up, and according to the way the Bartanura reads the Mishnah, is that the reason why you'd split it, why you'd double rather these psukim, because they don't have the same parallelism that the beginning psukim do. This clearly is parallel. I mean, Hoshiyana parallels Hashiyana. Why do we split it? Mm-hmm. Then I talked about the fact that we actually pronounce the two halves differently as well. This is going to get back to basically where we started, that you look at the sitter, that the way it's written in the sitter, it's Ana Hashem Hoshiyana with a metek under the shin, indicating the stress is on that shin. It's Hoshiyana, it's mil el, stress on the penultimate syllable. But Haslichana, even though it looks like this, looks very parallel, same words, looks like the same kind of thing, there's no stress indicator, which means it's on the ultimate syllable. So it's Hatslichana. We actually pronounce the two halves differently as well. And you know, you listen to a Chazan, they always say that. They'll say Ana Hashem Hoshiyana, stress on the she, and then Ana Hashem Hatslichana, stress on the last syllable. But that may not be right. If you look at the ancient manuscripts, they all have basically the Ta'amim, and this is from the Aleppo Codex here. They have the Ta'amim, this metek, on the last syllable for both Hoshiyana and Hatslichana. So the Koran Tanakh gets it wrong, at least if we assume that the Aleppo Codex, the Leningrad Codex, all these ancient manuscripts are right, that every Tanakh you see nowadays has it wrong. Very interesting. Something changed. So both of those, at least if we look at the ancient manuscripts, are both milra, stress on the last syllable. But that's in itself odd, because every other place in Tanakh, those words, Hoshia and Hatslicha, are always milal. The stress is always on that middle syllable in the hearing. Like here's another Tehillim, Hoshia, with a stress on the shin over here. Now Hatslicha only occurs one other place in all of Tanakh, that's Nehemiah. And there, the method here is that Hatslichana, not stressing the last syllable, second to last syllable. So that sort of thing is fascinating to me. You know, these little subtle things here. For some reason, our pasuk is different in the manuscripts. So this is the way the Minchas Shai. Minchas Shai, 17th century grammarian, went through all the the document, the text that he has, all the Sfarim that he had, all the manuscripts that he had of the Tanakh, looked at what are called the Masoretic notes. All these Tanakh that have Nikud in there also have little notes on the side about, well, this is the way it's pronounced, this letter is big, this happens three times, this kind of thing happens three other times in Tanakh, those kind of words. So, here's our puzzle. He has a note on Hatzlicha Naf. Our Masoret Allah, the Masoretic note that's in, say, the Aleph Codex, on the little side, says it's Milra, that Hatzlicha Naf is Milra, let's just on the last syllable, which is what we have. The Echad Hatzlicha Umil El, and there's another Hatzlicha that's Mil El, that's the one, actually that's the one in Nechemia. So no note on Hashia Naf, but Hatzlicha Naf says this one is Mil El, last syllable. Again, that's unusual. Akasheli. So this is what the Mincha Shai says about. Look at this. Shemilat Hoshia Umilat Hatzlicha Sheva Pasuk. But the words, he's looking at all these manuscripts, and Hoshia and Hatzlicha both have the same Yikud. Shemilat Hoshia and Hatzlicha Sheva Pasuk Zeh Shavim Heim B'Tamim. Rov Hasfarim. In most of the documents, the manuscripts that I've looked at. Yes. Our Tanachim, printed Tanachim, uniformly have different. He could. Hoshiana, stress on the second last, the last syllable, and Hatzlichana. But all the manuscripts have the same title.
This is Nikud and not Ta'ame Hamikra? It's not Ta'amim?
I'm putting those together. These are Ta'amim. Yeah. This is, they're Shavim Batamim. I would put Nikud as all the dots on there, including the vowels and the Ta'amim.
So the Aleppo Codex has all those marks?
That's why we are so valuable. This is a picture from the Aleppo Codex. Well, I typed it out, but that is the Aleppo Codex.
God's name, right?
Okay, who's that joining us?
But you know, those two words.
Oh.
Hoshia. What?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, how are you guys?
Hello.
Welcome. Talking about Hallel.
So, Danny.
The words Hoshia. Yeah,
because doesn't Hoshia take a direct object, but Hatzlicha doesn't really make me successful?
Okay, so you could argue that it means something different there. Right. Here it does. In this pasuk, it does not have an object. It's just save. You're right. It should have a save us.
Right.
Hatzlicha also, Hatzlicha means to make successful. It ought to have a direct object as well.
Hatzlicha, nah. I guess so. Lahatzliach, to be successful. Lahoshia, to redeem someone else. I don't know, there's a difference.
Hatzlicha is, lahatzliach is to make successful. I don't think that's what to be successful. The kind of here is Hashem, please make us successful.
All right.
I'm looking just at Ta'amin here, right?
The
Mishnah is saying Ta'amin are in fact the same. So he has a problem is that Hoshia, we all pronounce it Hillel, stress on the penultimate syllable, and Hatzlicha, the Masoret says this one is Hatzlichana, and he doesn't understand it because the Ta'amin look the same. Both of them have the zakah in the middle. We'll look at that over here, that little note over here. That's a little squiggly line on top. And a stress mark, like a metek or a munach in the Leningrad Tana Codex on the last syllable. Umara ulachalik benehem. So the question that Mincha Shai is, why do we pronounce it different? The Korah Slicha Milra. Hoshia Milel. That's what we do. Why make it different? He doesn't really have an answer. He just says that's what we do. Ra'iti b'chibur katan medikduk hanikra divrei agor rabbi Yaakov Levi. Okay, he found this one dikduk book from the Toshvei Kazli, Montpierre, somewhere in France, Montpierre. It's Rismaod. That he was really upset. He was very bothered by people who said these words, either word mil el. said it should be Hoshia and Hasicha. Lamati Shnehem Milra. He said both of them should be Milra, should be Hoshia, Hatzlicha, should be stressed on the second last syllable. But Dain ain't that Tino Chevazia. But the Milchashai says, I don't agree with this. Any Shomel Devarav, I don't agree with this at all. The Kroto Shia Milra to bring, read the Hoshia Milra, meaning the stress on the last syllable. The Ihachi, because if that was the case, that it's missing in all of our texts of the Masoretic notes. Don't say anything about that. Everywhere in Tanakh, Hoshia is with a she, stress on the she. If you want to say here, it should be Hoshia, stress on the last syllable, you should say something. Just like it does by the Hatzlicha. Right? Kihechi the Amruga by Hatzlicha is some Michle. Just like there's a note there about the Hatzlicha that's right next to it. So clearly, the way the Radak did it, and the other Medakah came from generations back, clearly said it the way we say it today, Hoshia HaSlicha. The low Amri Midi, and if we don't say it, it's a fact that it's missing. Ramineh, now we know that the absence of evidence is not evidence of absence, but I think this is a pretty good argument. The Karitu Mil'el, that we should say Hoshia Mil'el, Kitinav, the way we always do it, Lunafik Mikhale, and we don't make an exception this way, we always say it. This way it's written in all the old Sefarim, I've seen texts that have the shin with the stress on that. So we pronounce Hoshia and Hasicha differently. This is Minchashai, 17th century. However, Phyllis, you pointed this out to me. You said this to me, that Mordechai Breuer said that Minchashai is wrong. He can do that because Mordechai Breuer was brilliant. He knew everything. However, if I assume that I am to Rav Breuer the way Rav Breuer was to the Rishonim, so I can disagree with Rav Breuer as well, if he can disagree with the Radak and all the Rishonim there. But so this is Mordechai Breuer's reading of our pasuk.
When did I point this out to you? I can't believe it.
You had a conversation with somebody in Israel who sent me this book. You thought it was interesting that we're saying it wrong. You sent me a bunch of copies of this, and we were sort of the middleman between this. I don't know who it was you talked to me who was talking about this.
Wow.
You were the one who showed me all this information. So thank you.
I'm impressed.
You have taught me.
Don't remember it.
You're very impressive. You know all this. This is all very very detailed stuff. Okay. So Tam Hoshia Tzlicha. This is our boy. Milra. The Kitvei Yad. Okay, all the original manuscripts have the Hoshia, Hoslicha, both Mira, both stressed on that middle Chirik syllable over here. Penultimate stress. That's also true in the original Mikra Gedolot from Bamberg. You know, the first printed Tanakh has the same thing, the same time in both cases. B'li Machloket, no disagreement. This is Breuer's point. Afal Pikin. Despite that fact that all the manuscripts agree, Ichriya Minchashai Ladio Benayim. Minchashai says no, there's clearly a difference there. Hoshia is Mil'el, with a stress on the Shi. Hasicha Milra, with a stress on the Cha. Achra Zeh Shem Minchashai. Nikabla B'Kol Hatzot HaRegilot, and that everybody agrees in Minchashai. Ushugad Gam B'Fi Mitpalim Rabim, and the way we daven when we say Hallel, this is the way we say it. Right, this is sealed in our lips. They want to be careful in how they say halal. They say they pronounce it Hoshia Mil'el Hatzicha. Stress on the last syllable. The Tamazu, and saying it this way, Neshevet Sachot V'Hidur Kriya, this is considered to be very precise and careful, right? The really good Mitpalim will say it that way. Ignorant people will say them the same. So, Zu Dugmam Lukheket Shil Shibush. And that is a perfect example of fusion. I'm going to translate Shibush. That's completely mixed up. Shinit Gabel, Gabner Sheshba, Hashba'at, and Masorat, that this somehow has become part of the Masoret that we pronounce these two words differently. So says Rav Boyer. In Masoret Nimsar Be'emet, Rak al Tamat Milrat B'Hatzlicha. But the truth is, Masoretic note is just on that last letter, Hatzlicha, below Desha Hoshea, and there's no comment at all on Hoshea. So it doesn't tell us at all how Hoshea should be found. Tetamar, Tikat Ba'al Masoret al Tamat Hoshea, because everyone said, and I would say, Rav Boyer would say, that the fact that the Masoret doesn't say anything about Hoshea in any Mokhika Davar doesn't prove anything. That's his argument. To me, it sounds like a pretty good argument, right? If you're going to bother putting notes on one thing and leaving one out on the other, then I assume the first one is normal, doesn't require any particular note. Apo Pikain, he shibsha alino as nusa. Still, it has confused how we pronounce things. Odena mita ed karima Dr. Kim, and still makes us make mistakes today. I'm kind of a Boyer, right? We're all saying it wrong. Minhag HaShoah is saying it wrong. The Radak is saying it wrong. We need to go back since the Ta'amim are the same. My counter argument is, the whole point of the Masoretic notes is to say that Ta'amim don't tell you where the pronunciation is. Both words have Ta'amim on two different syllables. Sort of decision of how we say it. So I certainly will believe that Koran Tanakh is wrong in how it's printed. Certainly should go back to the old manuscript we have. The real Ta'amim are those of Kitzei Yad. We have the same Ta'amim on both of those words there. That doesn't tell us how the word's supposed to be pronounced. Not now. It doesn't tell us how the word was pronounced at the time of David. So it doesn't tell us how the word was pronounced at the time of Radak. I don't know. I can't tell you anything. Because there are lots of Ta'amim that are written on the end of the word, but really the stress is somewhere else. Okay, we know that. I think it's pretty strong there. The Minhag HaShoah's argument seems much stronger than Rav Boyer's argument. So I'm going to still say it. Hoshea Milael Hatzlicha Milra.
Now, this whole discussion, it's not relevant to Ashkenaz rather than Sephardi. Like in Israel, everything is Milra. You know, like,
no, except the word
Milot. You know what I mean?
Okay, so the right. So Ben, I'm talking about how you pronounce words in Hebrew. Even if you're Ashkenaz, you should still stress it correctly. You should still say, when you're reading Torah, Moshe, not Moshe.
True.
So it's interesting, I'm reading Rav Kupperman's Sefer from Kriyot Shel Mikra, and he talks about there's a difference between bitachon and bitachon. Bitachon is what you say when you're talking in Yiddish, and it's very yeshivish concept there. But the correct pronunciation is still almost always milra, except when there's an indication that it should be milah. So there are words that are milah.
But so this is
everywhere often, else.
You know, in davening, I mean, it's all different. It's not like you said, Moshe or Moshe. Which one is it, Moshe?
That's right. So you should. My argument is going to be that you should say it you should daven the way we daven. Avroy wants to change the way people have been doing it for hundreds of years.
Right.
I said, however it was originally pronounced, however it was originally stressed, that it writes it, we're saying it this way, and that's the right way to do it. And I have a technical point there in that it's not clear that they should be, even according to Rav Boyer, Bill Rott in general, because if you look at the Kitzei Yad, let's go back to this one, there's a little dagesh in the nun there.
Mm-hmm.
In both of these places, which is one of those weird things called dachik. Basically occurs in a consonant where the two words are like come together. They're pronounced as one, so shia na, hasicha na. But if that's the case, the stress should be moved, musab achar, it should be pushed backwards. And so if we're saying these words as a unit, then the stress should be, even if it normally would have been mil-al, it should now be mil-al. So it should be Hoshea na and Hasliha na, if you're going to do it right. I'm not sure if Royer is right about, if you were looking at the Ta'amim itself. But
the Dagation, the nun, is not because it once had a double nun?
It is not, because it ends, the last previous word ends in a vowel.
I see.
Okay, so it's not. Okay, so it's not a classic dagesh. It's nothing, and dagesh is not used in modern Hebrew at all. Something that comes in the Torah, like Vayedaber Hashem el Moshe le'mor, that lamed has a little dot in it.
Oh.
It's a weird thing that I only found out about learning about this sort of thing here that no one ever talks about ever. But put it all together. I'm sorry. The way we pronounce these pasuk splits into two halves. We split into halves. We don't consider them parallel. We don't both of them, and we pronounce the words differently. We go out of our way to say they're different. That's where I want to go. I want to understand that. I don't know why that's the case. An Hashem Aslicha Na, An Hashem Oshiana are different phrases. They mean different things. And even though they look like they're exactly the same, they are completely different. And my speculation on that is that this parak is a dramatization of saying challah, right? We're victory over enemies, we're celebrating, and we end up bringing our kabbanot, and then we have this an Hashem that we realize this isn't real. We're still waiting for the geula that allows us to bring the kabbanot here to say, pitchul v'yishar tzedek. We're only acting it now. So when we say challah, we're acting out a geula that hasn't happened. And when we pray, please let it happen. When we say an Hashem Moshiana, that there are two different ways that geula can happen. And I think that that's the difference between Hoshia and Hatzlicha Na. Are we asking God to save us or to give our action success? Those are two different ways and two different models of the geula as well. We know that, right? Famous pasuk from Yeshaya, "Katan yela elef, atir la goyatum." Right? We'll multiply. Ani Hashem beita achishena. I will bring it in at the time, and I will speed it up. Gemara and Sanhedrin says that. Shimon Levi Rami, atir beita v'tiv achishena. What do you mean? That's contradictory. What do you mean? Beita is time or achishena? The answer is zachu. If we have zachut, if we deserve the geula, it will come fast. Lo zachu ita. Otherwise, Hashem at some time has some kind of plan. Similarly, Rabbi Elazar Omer, in Israel osim tshuva nigalim, bim lav lo nigalim. If we do tshuva, if we act right, Hashem will bring the geula. Amalei Rabbi Yeshua, in Enos, in tshuva lo nigalim. What do you mean? God won't bring the geula? It's promised. Won't happen? The Kadosh Baruch Hu ma'amid lehem melech shigizra. Tav kashot me'aman. No. Hashem will bring it happen. But we'll have to bring terrible calamities until the point where Israel osim tshuva, the Israel will do tshuva against their own will. They will come back, and that's the geula will happen. So the geula will come. We will get to the point where we can say halal correctly. But our actions will decide whether it be hatzlicha from our own efforts that Hashem will make them successful, or the Yeshua where we're sitting waiting for Hashem to make it happen. And besides, it's been long enough. I think that's what those two parts are. I think that's hinted at the fact that we're saying these two psukim differently, because we really mean them two different ways. And feel free to insert an appropriately Zionist argument there about the difference between Hoshea and Hatzlicha.
Danny, can I add something, please?
Sure.
So maybe I can suggest something else, that the geula really isn't the end, right? Geula is actually just the beginning. Geula is the process of Israel leaving the Galut and coming to Medinat Israel, right? From Galut to Herut. And then once we did that, we need the Atzlacha, right? So the first step is Hoshea. First we need to come to Israel. The next step is we need to say, and it's not so simple as it is today. 73 years, and we still need that slacha from Israel. So that's my take on it.
I like that. Very good. Okay, so they're not contradictory. They're sequential. We need Hoshea Na, and then we get to the point of
Hatzlicha. That's the first step.
Then we still need Hatzlicha because Hashem is still. We still need to keep working.
Right.
Okay, and we will conclude reading the end of this parak is Baruch Hashem Torah. David recovers. He's had this one pasuk of oh my God, this isn't happening. This is not real. Then he comes back and says, okay, I'm going to start praising Hashem again. Baruch Abba B'Shem. Hashem reenacting this coming into the Beit HaMikdash. You know, this reenaction of the parade, the celebration, the Kohanim are saying, welcome, Shem Hashem. He's been calling out throughout our Hallel. Everything is by Ekra B'Shem Hashem. B'Shem Hashem Ekra, that's what Hallel is. When I can call out to Hashem and bring everyone else to call out with me, that's Baruch Abba B'Shem Hashem. Baruch Nuchem, you're blessed, the Beit Hashem is the house of God. Hashem, Yerlanu, Hashem, enlighten us. Ushuchag, Vavotim, we will bring our Chagigo and tie them up to the Mizbeach, where I can see myself bringing this Karban. I come back to the Hodu and Hallel, Elokai, Rebecca, and then ending with the same chorus that we started with. The whole parak starts with Hodu Hashem, Pitov, Tum, Pastel, which I would say was probably the chorus of that everyone, as it was said, would repeat after the Chazak. Okay, and that's what this whole parak is all about. Kiliyata viodeka, I will thank you. It's a personal thing. It's personal. We started with Hallel, which is community and evangelism. Telling it to everybody else. The whole world needs to acknowledge Hashem. And we end with the singular person, this is me. Kiliyata, you are my God, and I will thank you personally. And then, so we can go on celebrating with our Hallel, whatever we're, you know, the Yom Tov and the miracles that we celebrate. And then everyone comes together and say, that ends our discussion of Hallel. And next time, I think we'll start with the other Hallel, which is Chukei Zimra. Any questions or comments? Thank you for joining me. Thanks for the patience when things didn't work. I'm going to stop recording.